right. Okay. And this morning, I'm going to invite you to open to the book of Acts, actually, chapter 1. Okay. Now, Acts was written by a guy named Luke, so we're going to be in Luke chapter 1, okay? So you can blame that one on me. So we're in the book of Acts, and this is the book that follows Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And this is chapter 1, and I'll be reading to you from verses 1 through 11. Again, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. All right, let's begin. A reading from the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this a time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing up towards heaven. Suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come the same way as you saw him go into heaven. My friends, to the word of God, for the people of God, thanks be to God. All right, this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about Jesus' ascension. And when I was going through my notes, I noticed I had never actually spoken on this particular topic. In fact, this time last year on Mother's Day, I gave a sermon called Hannah, okay? That's why it's in your bulletin, okay? I've got to change it. Not just copying and pasting stuff over. You know, because usually you got Pentecost Sunday and that's dressed in red. And sometimes Ascension Sunday gets left out because you got Mother's Day and you do a Mother's Day sermon. But this year I thought I'm going to change it up and do a sermon on Ascension Sunday. In fact, we have a beautiful stained glass window about that here in the middle of Jesus going up to heaven. Now, you notice that it talks about a person by the name of Theophilus. The author of the Gospel of Luke in the book of Acts is a guy named Dr. Luke. And Dr. Luke is writing a series of letters to a friend of his named Theophilus. And we're not sure that's his real name or that is maybe a pseudonym because it means friend of God. But in his first letter, book of Luke, chapter 1, when you read it, Luke says, I went through and I investigated everything carefully, so you may be sure of the truth you were taught. In other words, Luke doesn't get zapped. He just wrote down what he felt like. We know from the book of Acts that for 2 years, the apostle Paul was locked up under house arrest, waiting for trial in Jerusalem, and then later to Caesarea. During that time, Luke was probably going about Israel, meeting people, the men and women who had met Jesus, who were healed by Jesus, who were taught by Jesus. And thus, he wrote the Gospel of Luke and said, you can be sure of this. I have done my research. Well, now it's time for a sequel, the book of Acts. And so he says, you know, my first book, I wrote all about that Jesus did and taught, until the time he's taken up to heaven, after he gave instructions to the Holy Spirit to his apostles. And verse 3, and this is one I've been quoting quite a bit during this season of Easter. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. As I've said before, and I'll say it one more time, for Christians, Easter is not one and we're done. It is a season of time we celebrate. After everybody's eaten their chocolate rabbits and found their Easter eggs, we are still celebrating the risen Christ, because for 40 days he appeared to different individuals and groups of people, showing signs and proofs that he had truly risen from the grave. People like to think he made one appearance and he was gone. That's not true. He made numerous appearances to many people. At one point, he appeared to 500 at one time. And then while staying with them, he gave them orders. Now, so they've been back and forth during 40 days from Galilee to Jerusalem. And so at one point, he says to them, stay in Jerusalem. Okay? Why? This is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Isn't it interesting how in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1 is about the birth of John the Baptist? And John's mentioned again here in chapter 1, verse 5 of the book of Acts. Just as John baptized you with water, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then verse 6 says they came together and asked him the question, Lord, this is the time when you restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. Okay. You see, the people of Israel are still waiting for the setting up of their kingdom. I know some folks get confused about this, but Israel as it is today is not what it is to be. When you go to the Wailing Wall and you see those Orthodox Jews there and they're got the headdress and the long black clothes and the long beard and they've got the Torah and they're praying, what are they praying? Me and them praying, Messiah, come, Messiah, come, Messiah, come. The Messiah is not Benjamin Netanyahu or any other political leader in Israel. There's only one Messiah, and that's Jesus. And when he comes, he will fully restore the nation of Israel into that kingdom when he comes back to reign and rule on this earth. And a lot of people don't know this. A time will come when Jerusalem will be the global capital, because there Jesus will reign as the true king, the savior of mankind. And so they're like, well, Lord, we're going to do this. Now, we've been waiting. And he says, it's not time for you to know that yet. And I'll get more of that here in a little bit. And then it talks about, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes from upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I know I've used this before, an analogy, but I'll use it again because it just works really well. So you're talking about, you start in Jerusalem, you spin out to Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. You know, on the day of Pentecost, somehow how the flame, the fire came down upon them. And so for those of you who remember this TV show when it came on, maybe saw reruns, there used to be a Western called Bonanza. Okay, remember that? Had that great music to it. You know, there's even the song about Bonanza that Lauren Green's recorded. Hoss and Joe, Adam know every rock and pine. No one works faster east like the boys of mine. Right? Because it's talking about the dad, his three sons, and they're always getting into these misadventures on the Ponderosa Ranch. And so when you turn on the TV, and the TV show came on, you saw a map of the Ponderosa. And then for some reason, the middle of the map caught on fire and the flame spread out to the edges of the map. Well, that's how it was with the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down in Jerusalem. That was the center of the map. And the gospel spread to Judea and Samaria. And then from there, it spread out to the ends of the world. The gospel is still spreading out. If you saw a map right now, the Holy Spirit map, you see it burn brightly in all areas of the world. And yet there are some areas is not burning as brightly because they had not heard the gospel. And then while he said this to them, they were watching. He was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Now, when I was younger, I took this very literally, the idea of Jesus kind of going through outer space. And like he just went going, past the moon, Mars, and Jupiter, and Uranus, and Saturn, Neptune. And you know, back then, Pluto was a planet, right? So you got past Pluto, you're heading out. You know. But the reality, though, is he's not that far from us. Because the trick is, it's about that cloud covered him. There's a thin veil between where Jesus is at, that dimension, and our dimension. And from time to time, God, in his goodness and grace, pulls that veil back. How do we know that? Because later on in the book of Acts, we see a guy named Peter, who's doing a lot of preaching. And later on, we got a guy named Paul. But in between, we got some others. You get a chapter or two. Folks like Philip, who evangelized the Ethiopian eunuch, and a young man by the name of Stephen, who was a deacon, a servant in the church. And Stephen knew his Old Testament scriptures, the Jewish scriptures. He was brilliant. And so he was put on trial. And he began a testimony explaining how God worked through Abraham and Joseph and Moses. And then he told the people how they had sinned greatly by rejecting Jesus the Messiah. They came angry, took him outside, a lynch mob, and began stoning him. And before they stoned him, they left their coats at the feet of a young man by the name of Saul. And so young man Saul was watching all this, approving. But listen to this. While Stephen was being stoned to death, what did he say? He said, "I see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the Father Almighty." God pulled back that veil. And Stephen, in his last moment, saw Jesus standing by the side of God the Father Almighty. Now, if I would ask most folks where Jesus is at today, a lot of folks probably say, "Well, he's in my heart." And I would not yell at them for that. But a more accurate answer to that would be this. You have God the Father, who's on his throne. He established his throne on high and rules over all. And on his right side, you have Jesus. Now, a little while ago, Herb led us in the Creed on page 881. And we said that we believe that Jesus ascended up to heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Well, what's he doing there? Well, the Bible tells us he's there praying and meditating for us, mediating for us. He's our lawyer. He's there praying for us. You know, even in your darkest moments, somebody's praying for you. Why? Because Jesus is there praying for you at the right-hand side of the Father. Well, are we here by ourselves? No. Because on Pentecost Sunday, we learn about how the Holy Spirit came down to dwell in the lives and hearts of believers. And so you have Jesus seated at the right-hand side of the Father in power and glory. And so the disciples are there, and they're watching and gazing towards heaven, and suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They just appear. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus has been taken from you to heaven will come the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Now, if you think, well, that sounds a little familiar. It does, because it's very similar to what happened at the end of Luke's gospel when the women are at the tomb and the angels say, "Why do you seek ye living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He is risen. He is going to head to you to Galilee." In the same situation, why are you standing there grieving, looking up to heaven? This Jesus who's been taken up to you to heaven will come again the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Okay. So when we talk about the second coming of Jesus, if we wonder what it's going to look like, well, look at that window, right? Because this Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Okay? So if he came into heaven on these clouds of glory, he's going to come back from heaven on clouds of glory. If he physically went up, he will physically come back down. If you could visibly see him go up, you will visibly see him come down. And so I just want to share a little scripture that Jesus told his disciples. Listen to Mark chapter 13, verse 21. And if anyone says to you at that time, look, here's Messiah, or look, there he is, do not believe it. False messiahs and false prophets will appear and produce signs and omens to lead astray if possible the elect. But be alert. I have already told you everything. Oh, even in my own lifetime, a little bit before that, there have been so many false prophets risen up, false messiahs. What was it, in the late 70s or early 80s, you had down in Central America and the guy named Jim Jones with his Kool-Aid, and people thought he was the Messiah, and then found out he was just a cult leader. And then I remember back in the early 90s down in, Waco, Texas, David Koresh was holed up having the shootout because he claimed to be the Messiah. And now he's dead. And then I remember back in the late 90s here in Tennessee, Memphis, Mr. Louis Farrakhan of the Black Islam showed up and said the Gospel of John talked about him because Jesus said he would send another to explain all things. And he said, that was me, my religion. And then also remember back in the 90s, you had those individuals out in California, and they thought that little comet was coming by, had a UFO behind it, and they were going to dress in black, get new Nike shoes, and ride that UFO, you know. And I know, like, swing low, sweet UFO, come home, take me home, you know. It's amazing how people will believe any false prophet, but not believe what's written here in red. And just warm, do not let them trick you. Anytime somebody says he's here or there, it's not me. Why? Because Jesus is coming in clouds of glory. And listen to this. But in those days after the suffering, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light, and the stars will be fallen from heaven. The powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they shall see what? The Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Jesus is coming in power and great glory through the clouds. Verse 27. Then he will send out the angels, gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. Now, when Christ returns, one of the first things he's going to do is gather his church together. Just as a hen gather her chicks, so Jesus will gather together his church. And then I just want to close with what the Apostle Paul said about this. Now, and he wrote this to the Thessalonian church who did not have a Jewish background, the resurrection. No, they came from a pagan background. They believe when you die, you just kind of linger somewhere. But listen to this. And I know some of you have heard me use this scripture before. But verse 13 says in chapter 4, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so you may not grieve as others who do not have no hope. Some folks, when they lose a loved one, have no hope. But as Christians, we have hope. Listen to this. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's Good Friday and Easter, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive or are left until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call and the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Just as Jesus physically left the earth into heaven with the clouds, Jesus is coming back in that same manner on those clouds to earth. And we who are his children are going out to meet him in the air. You know, a little while ago, we sung a song called Heaven's Jubilee. That's what that song is about. Oh, what singing. Oh, was shouting on the happy morning when we all shall gladly rise. When we rise up from that grave, rise up from this earth to meet the one true King. When he comes back, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so on this Ascension Sunday, we celebrate not because Jesus was here and he left, but because we believe the one you see leaving in like manner is coming back for you and me. Just as Jesus left to the clouds to heaven, Jesus is coming back from heaven in the clouds of glory to gather together his children to come here on earth, our one and true King. Amen. And so in keeping with this theme of meeting the Lord in the air, I invite you to open your red church hymnal to page 333 for that great gospel song, I'll Fly Away.